Seir is Edom. It's not Mount Edom. It's located in Edom. And here, Mount Seir is nothing. It's like a little tiny nothing. And in the Bible, you have to look at the context to see if a mountain is physical, like in Zechariah 14, the Mount of Olives. But mountains also represent power. And here, it's power. That's what the reference is. It's not a geographic location. And you can see it as we go through this. Mount Seir would be today like the Palestinians and those that support them. The Palestinian influence extends beyond Israel. I mean, the Palestinians have support in capitals all over the world. They have support from Saudi Arabia. Just during this last war with Gaza, all over, and I have this on my blog. I have a blog that you can go to. I keep updated information. All throughout the capitals of Europe and in the United States, Fort Lauderdale had a big rally for Hamas, and Los Angeles, I think, and Detroit. But all the capitals in Europe were supporting Hamas. So you see, that represents Mount Seir. That's the power of like the Palestinians and those supporters. Do you see that? So this is a prophecy, not to a specific tiny geographical insignificant location. This is a prophecy about a power that extends beyond a normal area. Because mountains, you see at far distance. You know, you can be in one country and see a mountain in another, right? You can be in one state and see a mountain 20 miles away in another state. And that's why God uses mountains as a sign of powers. Because you can, it extends beyond its normal location. And say unto it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch forth my hand against thee, and I will make thee the most desolate. And I will lay thy cities waste. You see, it's more than just a mountain. And thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. You see, when the judgment comes, they're going to know he's the Lord. Not Allah, but he is the Lord. Because thou has a perpetual hatred and shed the blood of the children of Israel by force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time of their iniquity had an end. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord. See, now this is exactly what Obadiah was saying. See how it parallels to Obadiah? It goes back to when they were afflicted with the, because it hasn't changed. The attitude of the house of Esau today is exactly the way it was 2,600 years ago and more. It's their mentality is exactly the same. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not hate blood, even blood shall pursue thee. Thus I will make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut them off, and cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. And there's more there. I want you to drop down to verse 12. And thus saith, I have problems here with the shadows and the light. Let me get it over here, and I'm going to have to twist here a little. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and thou shalt have heard that I have heard all thy blasphemies, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. The Palestinians say the mountains of Israel are ours. That's Ephraim and Samaria. The mountains of Israel run directly down through the middle. Jerusalem is in the mountains of Israel. They're saying they're ours. Mount Seir, which is located down in Lebanon, which is not Lebanon, Edom, which today is Jordan, they're saying the mountains of Israel are ours. And that's what the Palestinians say today. That's ours. That's our, we want a Palestinian state. Thus, with your mouths, you have boasted against me and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, you see that? This is not limited to just Israel. It's not limited to just house of Esau. It's the whole earth. Isn't that the way it is today? Isn't that today? You see the setting now? You see how Obadiah ties together with this, with Mount Seir? I will make thee desolate. You see? God's going to apply. You're trying to make the mountains of Israel desolate. You're trying to kill the Jews. You're going to be desolate. As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so I will do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea. That means all the connections with Edom, everything that's connected with Edom. And folks, right now, Saudi Arabia is connected with Edom. They're pouring billions in there to try and give them the funds and the arms and everything needed to overthrow Israel. United Arab Emirates are involved. Kuwait is involved. They might not be sending soldiers and suicide bombers, but through their money and their political pressure on the United States, they're trying to do this. That's all of Idumea. All of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So before this is over, all said and done, the Arab countries, the Islamic countries are going to know that the God of Israel is Lord and not Allah. Now, quickly into verse 36, it's about the mountains of Israel, and it's God's prophesying saying, you will be rebuilt, the nations, you will come back into the land, you will be fruitful. I don't have time to go over all this in detail. But he says into verse 9, For behold, I am for you, and I will return unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, and all the house of Israel, even all of it, and all the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be built. And folks, the problem is that God's word in Obadiah lays out the geographic location for the nation of Israel. The problem is God's word says that the mountains of Israel, which are in Judea and Samaria, it's a spine that runs north-south right from up by where Armageddon is, the valley there for Armageddon, and it runs right down past Jerusalem and down into the southern, further south, so that's going to belong to the children of Israel. They're going to come back. They're going to build cities there. They're going to, it's going to be fruitful. I'm going to bless it. And the problem is, the government of the United States says it's going to be a Palestinian state. See, this is the rub. This is what is so dangerous for us. And this is not limited to a Democrat or Republican. This starts with George Bush Sr. in 1991. I've got this all documented in my book. Disasters upon disasters have hit our nation precisely to the day we're forcing Israel to divide that land. President Clinton, a Democrat, he comes in, judgment after judgment. Every time Yasser Arafat set foot in the United States, there was a stock market crash. There was a hurricane hitting. There were massive floods. There were massive fires. Front page, massive tornado outbreaks, like the worst in history. Arafat with Clinton in the White House. Arkansas devastated by earthquakes. Arafat with Clinton in the White House. Hurricane such and such hits. Arafat with Clinton, massive floods in Texas. Arafat with Clinton, massive fires out west, record fires, millions of acres burning. It brought a curse, folks. And I believe that God was trying to get attention of the church. I really do. To show the literalness of his word. And that we should be interceding before the Lord. Bush becomes president, and he takes it to another level. He brags that I'm the first president that called and pushed for a Palestinian state. He's bragging about it. Disaster. Hurricane Katrina hit exactly, it became formed a hurricane on the day the last Jew was taken from Gaza back in 2005 under pressure from George Bush. The last Jew, and you remember, if you can remember back then, the Jewish people were on top of their houses, and they were saying, help us, help us. Well, within a week, what were the Americans doing in New Orleans? They were on top of the houses, help us, help us, help us. The buses came in and took the Jews out of Gaza and took them all over Israel. The buses came into New Orleans and took the Americans all over the United States. The Jews had to come into Gaza and dig up their dead because the Muslims would defile the graves. Do you know when Hurricane Katrina hit that it dug up the graves because the water is so the water table is so shallow there that graves were floating all over the place in southern United States and in New Orleans? Exactly as we did what Israel did under pressure from the United States to the land happened to us. Exactly. And that's just one example. I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of examples. We are into, and there's a dichotomy because on one part, we are the most friendly nation to Israel, right? But on the other part, we're leading the charge to divide the land. And there are scriptures in the Bible, and not only divide the land, but divide Jerusalem. And God's got the warning. He's got warning in his scriptures. You can see it in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, about dividing the land. If you divide the land of Israel, you'll be judged. And that's what happened to us, folks. My book, As America Has Done to Israel, a congressman's wife read it, and she explained the whole book to her husband, a congressman from Indiana. He sent me a letter and explained this to me. And they were so moved by it that without an appointment, he went to the White House and asked to meet with the president to give him a copy. And Bush was not in, but he met with one of Bush's aides who said he would take the book and put it on the president's desk. So this book here sat right on the desk of the President of the United States as a warning to what he's doing. And the congressman wrote me and told me he got a letter from the president saying that he had received the book and thanked him for it, but he didn't say anything about reading it or believing it or rejecting it. So I have no idea if the President Bush read my book, but it was put on his desk. Isn't that amazing? See, God wanted him warned to try and warn him off. We come to July. If the present economic situation we're in, the meltdown of the U.S. economy, if you can follow it back to a specific day when it happened, and you can follow it back into 2008, you can follow it back into the winter of 2008, you can follow it back into 2007, into the summer, and you come to July 20th. Again, this is, I'm going to paraphrase a lot, but it's all in my book, if you want to see the details. And on July 20th, on July 19th, the stock market reached, for then, an all-time high of 14,000, the Dow Industrials. First time ever it reached 14,000. Prior to July 20th, for months, the market had been surging. And there was no talk about subprime loans. There was no talk about recession. It was all go, 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 go. So we get July 19th, it hits 4,000 even. On the next day, the market drops 150 points. And if you look at the reason, it says the market dropped because of concerns with subprime loans. July 20th. Over the weekend, the market people and the bankers and all, they kind of got a revelation about the subprime loans, that we were in trouble. The very Monday, the very next Monday, the market blew apart. And we have been in convulsions since. So the day, the very day that the subprime loan hit, the debacle hit, was July 20th, 2007. On July 6th, which is a Friday, on July 16th, which was the Monday, President Bush gave a speech. Guess what? Divide Israel. Not only divide Israel, he wanted Gaza and the West Bank united because they're about 30 miles apart, and he wanted a causeway, he wanted a bridge between Gaza and the West Bank, which would divide Israel into two. So he wanted Israel divided into two, so the Palestinians could have a unified state. He said, it's time we deal with Jerusalem. It's time we deal with the refugee problem. He said, it's time that the Israelis forget about the West Bank and they look to the Negev and the Galilee. I got the major part of his speech quoted in my book. So he makes the speech on Monday. This is what we're going to do to Israel. He called for an international conference, which he held in November. Remember the Annapolis meetings? That came from this speech that he made on July 16th. So the president makes a speech on July 16th. The market's surging. On 3 days later, it reaches an all-time high of 14,000. And the next day, it blows apart. Is that close enough, folks? Is that close enough? The speech on Monday, the market blows apart on Friday. And as I followed the market, each time he did something, like Like, he made that speech, then the market blew apart, and it settled down. But, it, you know, it would take a big drop, and it would settle down. Then they would pour all sorts of money in and all their tricks from the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department, and the market bounced up, and it went to an all-time high of 14,164 on November 9th, 2007. Then we have the meeting in Annapolis. And while the meeting in Annapolis, the market's blowing apart. And then the meeting stops and it settles down. Then in January 2008, just a little more than a year ago, early January, the president goes to Israel for the express purpose of pushing the Israelis to perform, I'll use that word, the Annapolis meeting for the creation of a Palestinian state. While he's there, the market is completely out of control. And if you could think back a year from now, a year back, he was over in Israel, and when he came back, remember he had to have the emergency meeting to get the stimulus package, and everybody got a larger refund? That's because the market was coming apart while he was in Israel. And I'm watching this, and I said, Lord, it's blown apart every day. I said, this is it. Your judgment is on us. And then it settled down. He stopped this with Israel. It settled down. In March of last year, Cheney goes to Israel to pursue the Annapolis Accords. While he's there, the market's blowing apart. Then he comes back, and it settles down. But each time now, it's coming down. Bear Stearns blew apart while Cheney was over there. And then it settles down. And then in June, Condoleezza Rice goes there for the express purpose of pressuring Israel to divide the land. While she is in Israel doing this, the market is absolutely tailspinning. The price of oil is surging. The dollar's collapsing. And we have these massive floods in Iowa. Millions of acres are underwater of our prime land. Major cities in Iowa are underwater. So here I am. I'm looking at the newspapers, Condoleezza Rice in Israel, the stock market blowing apart, and one of the worst floods in our history all at the same time. Do you see it, folks? Do you see the curse that's come on us for attempting to divide the land? Our own land was being devastated as Bush is trying to pressure Israel to divide the land. And plus, there were raging fires going on in California. And that had to do with homosexual marriage. I can't get into that tonight. That's a whole other. We're under judgment. The nation's under judgment for homosexual marriage. Then the same thing. Rice goes over there in August. It happens. And finally, we come to September. And during the election, do you remember that the president, because of the economy melting down and Lehman Brothers blowing apart, he called for a meeting in the White House where Obama and McCain were meeting because of the seriousness? Well, an hour before they met, guess who the president met with? Abbas. He had the Palestinians come to talk about dividing the land while our economy is blowing apart and they have an emergency meeting. On the very day, just an hour before. Do you see how serious this is with the Lord, folks? That's why I'm telling people, get out of the market, run. Get your money out of the banks and run. We're under judgment. Seek the Lord and what to do. Then we come to in September. That happened there towards the end of September. We come to September 30th, which is the Jewish holiday, the biblical holiday of Rosh Hashanah, the new year. On that day, the market fell 777. The one day greatest crash in history. The one day greatest crash. The 10 days later is Yom Kippur. And the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's a day of soul searching. It's called the days of awe, is what it's called. And then on Yom Kippur, and of course the Lord Jesus is our Yom Kippur with his shed blood for our sin. But nonetheless, the biblical holidays, the fall holidays are there. And during those 10 days, our economy went into free fall. We lost a third of the market, and we pulled down the entire world market with us. So what started in July 20th of 2007, as almost to the day, well, the same week, Bush makes this mistake. Now, a little more than a year later, the whole world is getting sucked into this. And on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, President Bush called for an emergency meeting to have eight economic leaders come to try as a show of security for the people to see, if you remember that. took place in Washington. He called for an emergency meeting. And on Yom Kippur, the market fell 697 for the third greatest one-day fall in history. 7 days later is the Feast of Tabernacle. The market fell 737 for the second greatest one-day fall. So last year, on the three biblical fall holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles, the market lost 23, if you add them all together, whatever it comes to, points. The days of awe, the market was blowing apart. It was pulling down the whole world economy. And like having the last trumpet, the British banks, Iceland's economy is gone now. The British are on the ropes. As bad as we are, we look great compared to Britain and Scotland and Hungary and the Ukraine. So the whole world is in convulsions. Well, guess what? They're all against Israel, folks. Do you remember I told you how they're for Hamas and the Nazis are unifying in Germany with the leftists and with the Muslims? And in London, they're marching, kill the Jews, not about Israel only, but kill the Jews, kill the Jews. It's like 1938 all over again, right in front of our very eyes. And you know what? The Europeans didn't do anything. They let the Nazis march. They let these... Can you imagine if they said, kill the homosexuals, kill the homosexuals? But it's okay to say, kill the Jews. Why? Because in their hearts, they're sympathetic with Hamas. In Hamas, they reject, in their hearts, they're rejecting Israel. It doesn't sound so bad to the Europeans, kill the Jews. Do you see it? And their economies are melting down at the same time. And this is my opinion. But I believe that the final judgment of the American economy and the world economy started on September 30th of last year, and it was finalized on the Feast of Tabernacles, which was 17 days later, that we're in a new dispensation with the Lord. Now, a new dispensation doesn't mean a different gospel, but a new dispensation is the Lord is no longer pleading with the nations through his word and through prophet speaking and, you know, things like that. The new dispensation is he's taking the nations head on in judgment now. We are under the judgment of the Lord for dividing the land. Great Britain is under judgment of the Lord. The European nations are under judgment from the Lord. The gloves are off. The devil has taken his gloves off and he's using Hamas and he's using the Arab money and he's using Hezbollah. And he's, you know, Iran is not a Boy Scout camp. Ahmadinejad is a Mahdist. He's waiting. He believes that they're going to bring the Mahdi in, the world Islamic ruler, and he wants the war with the Jews. He wants the war with the United States because Islam, the result of it, Islam is going to conquer the world. I mean, something has to come to a head, folks. See, and so the devil's got his gloves off, and the Lord's got his gloves off. And the devil's going to give his best shots to try and thwart God's prophetic word and destroy the nation of Israel. And the Lord said, no, you're not. Because as you do, you're going to get. So I think Exodus 15:3 applies here where it says the Lord is a mighty man of war. And there's a time for it. And I believe the Lord's arising. So the Lord's got his gloves off. And he's saying, bring it on. And the thing is, what do we do as the church? Do we sit on the sidelines? And do we watch this? Or do we become a part of it? And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part. You know, when I played football, I didn't like sitting on the bench. You know, I didn't like practicing. Coach, get me in. Coach, get me in. Coach, get me in. You know, I wanted to play. Now, shouldn't we be that way, folks? This is the hour. Obadiah is the hour. And I don't have time to get into Isaiah chapter 34. In fact, my voice is telling me I'm running out of time. But we have got the prophetic word with us. We have spiritual nuclear weapons. Pray, fast, intercede, comfort ye, my people. If something should happen here in Long Island and against the Jewish people, well, run to help them.
That's right. Amen.
Run.
Amen.
Call the synagogue and talk to the rabbi and say, Rabbi, we're 100% with you. You need someone to come over and 24-hour guard on your synagogue, we're there. You need protection, whatever, we're there. See, God wants us not to be like Esau and pile on. He wants us to stand. And we'll do it by faith, right? Yes. Isn't this exciting times? So I want to give you the challenge. We've got ammunition here. The last trumpet, my tracks. I have another track to give you knowledge about Islam. It's called The Bible Versus the Quran. And I went to the Quran and pulled out all the scriptures or all the surah from the Quran that said there is no Trinity and God does not have a begotten son. There's about 12 or 13. And I lay it out here so you can be armed and you know you got ammunition to deal with the Muslims. I have another track called, oh, here it is, Muhammad or Jesus, the prophet like unto Moses. This is one Muslims all over the world to the Lord. It's been winning Muslims in prison to the Lord. So if you know Muslims, I think I'm out of them. Am I out of them? There might be a couple back there. But if you need more, contact me, and I'll get them to you. And make sure all the Muslims, wherever you are, or wherever you live, that you come in. A lot of them are in business, like the convenience stores and that. Yeah. Just give it to them. But let's not sit on our hands. Let's work for the Lord, and let's use that prophetic word. Let me close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word, Lord. The book of Obadiah, 21 verses of dynamite, Lord. Father, apply the prophetic word to our life. Father, if anyone has been hindered because of faith and love and hope, I pray that it would be lifted off them now, Lord. I pray that they would walk in faith, hope, and love, that you will illuminate all of your prophetic word for us for the hour we live in, Lord. Give us opportunity to use your word, Lord. Give us opportunity to share Obadiah for the hour we live in, Lord, and Ezekiel and Isaiah. Bless this church, Lord. Bless the pastor. Bless everybody that's here. And Father, the bottom line with everything that was taught tonight is looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.